Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, open it with me to the book of Proverbs, the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. Very fitting passage for today. When you begin to think of mothers and you think of the perfect mother, it leads you to this particular chapter. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet early and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp goes out not by night. She stretches out her hands to those who need, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is of fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And God blesses the reading of His Word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that You would take Your Word, that You would penetrate our hearts, draw us closer to Jesus, and we thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Mother's Day in the United States. There are many holidays that come and go, but there are few people that have lived their lives without taking at least some moment, sometime, to celebrate this day. It shouldn't surprise you that Mother's Day actually had its start in church. So you're carrying on the tradition that happened at the beginning. There was a woman named Anna Jarvis who dearly loved her mother. And she asked her pastor, would it be possible for us to have a service to honor mothers? Well, that pastor, being a very smart pastor, didn't say no. And so he had a service, and that service caught on in its popularity. And that service was held on May 10th, 1908. The Word of God was preached, and each mother present received a red carnation, a practice that we will continue today as you leave. President Woodrow Wilson, needing a boost in the polls, thought, hey, that Mother's Day sounds like a good idea. And he declared that every second Sunday in May would thereafter be Mother's Day. Mother's Day carries a lot of emotion. Now, I know for some of you in this room, Mother's Day is difficult because, let's just put it plain, your mother wasn't so hot. There are ladies like that. There are children who suffer through that type of life. And let me say, I am very sorry for what you have missed. But I do know that the same God who sent Jesus to die for you on Calvary's cross is the same God who can lift you up, same God that can care for you, and same God that can fill the gaps. And I know that you would not want anyone to go through what you have gone through in missing out on a mother's love. And so today we spend time on talking about what a mother should be. Some here today are experiencing your first Mother's Day without your mother. Every year that happens. Mothers pass. They are only with us for a short time. There is a time when your mother will no longer be. And if you're experiencing this Mother's Day and your mother has passed away in this past year, let me share some things that have been comforting to me. For I, like you, spend this Mother's Day with my mother not present. My mother went home to be with the Lord. And if your mother died with faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that she's okay. I want you to know that she's celebrating today. Now, she's not celebrating Mother's Day. She's celebrating a day with Jesus. And any day with Jesus is better than any day on this earth. And she doesn't have any more sickness, any more sadness. She will not shed a tear. She only has joy, and she's surrounded by loved ones that believe in Jesus that have gone before her. What a blessing your mother has today. And as God cares for your mom for all eternity, God will care for you. And something that really comforts me is the knowledge that because my mom died in faith, that is, she died knowing Jesus as her Savior, I know where my mom is, and I have Jesus as my Savior. That means when I die, I'm going to go to that same place, and one of the joys I'm going to get in heaven is getting to see my mom again. I look forward to hearing her laughter once again, hearing her voice. Oh, what I would give. Now, I got to confess, there were some days on this earth that I wasn't too thrilled to hear that voice. But you know, I don't care what kind of attitude or mood she might be in, I would be thrilled to hear just one word from her today. One day, those of us whose mothers are with Jesus, if we know Jesus, we'll get that privilege again. What a day, glorious day that's going to be. One of the most difficult things that ever happened in my life was when my mother died. Yet I'm thankful today. Because I know she's got God's best. And let me tell you, even though I would like to have her here with me, I would never bring her back from where she is. I am thankful to know that she is in God's eternal care. Now, being a mother is difficult. It is something that no man will ever dream to understand. And guys, even if you think you do, you don't. And just go quiet on that issue. Living as a mother. Having a child is one thing, but living as a mother, living out that life, will have its struggles and its difficulties and its hardships and its great blessings and joys. Some mothers never get thanked. And if that's you, I am sorry and I thank you. Billy Graham tells a story. He says, my favorite story about Mother's Day is about a husband who wasn't very attentive to his wife. He never acknowledged Mother's Day, never acknowledged his wife, never went out and bought her a single gift. After all, he would say, she's not my mother. Guys, can I tell you, that's not good reasoning. Not if you want to spend a happy moment in your life, that is. He decided, finally, it's time to do something different. This year was going to be different. He went out, bought some flowers, bought a box of candy, wanted to surprise her, so he went to the front door, something he never did, rang the doorbell. She came to the doorbell, opened the door, saw him there with the candy outstretched, and the flowers, and he began to sing, "I love you truly." She started crying. I mean, sobs were pouring out of her. And I'm not saying sobs of joy, sobs of anguish and sadness. And then she screamed, "Harry, this has been the worst day of my life. The kids are fighting. The washing machine broke. The toilet backed up. The house is a wreck. And now you come home drunk." Let me say, if you have a living mother, make sure you get in touch with her somehow, some way. And while you can say it to her and she can hear you, say, "I love you, Mom. Thank you." Maybe your mother didn't do anything right, but have you? Praise God you were not aborted. And thank her for that. And if you have a wife, you are married to the woman who is the mother of your children, thank her. Be nice to her. You still got to live with her. Don't let your appreciation for the mother of your children be a surprise to her or to your children. Let it be known. Now today we're going to look at Proverbs 31. It's the pinnacle chapter of a godly woman. In fact, some women get a little nervous about this chapter because it's just kind of like, I can't measure up. Well, let me put your mind at ease. The things that are written in the scripture are written as a goal. It's written as guidelines. It's written as a target. It is written to encourage us, not to depress us. It's written to lift us up in the Lord. And so it is here for that purpose. And don't let these words be a negative thing to you. Let them be a challenge for you. And where God has matched you up with it, let it be a blessing to you. And then if you are still a little stressed out about this passage, think of your poor husband. He doesn't measure up to hardly anything. And he's supposed to live like Jesus. And since we all fall far short of that, you're probably in pretty good standing in this particular passage. The book of Proverbs opens with a father giving counsel to his son. And it closes with a son paying tribute to his mother. Chapter 31 begins in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. It begins with a mother giving advice to her son. So in Proverbs, what you have is a book that shows moms and dads teaching their children. May I say, parents need to teach their children. We need to teach them. You know, I actually heard a parent say that's what schools are for. We need to teach our children. And the number one thing you need to teach your children is faith in Jesus Christ. You need to teach them that you believe and that they need to believe and the strength that they can get if they only believe. That needs to come from their parents. You may think your parents are not very smart now, but one day you'll be amazed at how smart they were. One day you'll be amazed at the thought that you should have listened to them more. And actually, had you listened to them more, you probably wouldn't have gone through some of the difficulties that you've gone through. The scripture tells us the price of a godly mother. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. This passage makes reference to the woman's husband and to her children and says to that family, you couldn't afford a godly woman. The passage is structured to show value of a godly mother. The beginning in verse 10 and following through verse 31, there are 22 phrases that each start with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It starts with Aleph. It goes all the way down to Tov. Now, I know you are into A through B, C, D in Hebrew, Aleph, Tov. And it's kind of an acrostic. I asked Jake this morning if he knew the Mother's Song. He did not know the Mother's Song, said he'd never heard the Mother's Song. And I know some of you know the Mother's Song because I've done that here before. And just in case you didn't know, it is an acrostic. M is for the million things you gave me. O is only that she's growing old. Something I would have never said to my mother. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R is right, and right she'll always be. And if you know this, you can sing the rest of it with me. Put them all together, they spell Mother. The name that means the world to me. Well, in this passage, we have something a little bit similar to that. It's an acrostic where a godly mother is the A to the Z, or the Aleph to the Tov. She is complete in being exactly what the husband and children need. God has a way of putting exactly the right people together and growing the right family in the right way that that family needs. And so he places moms in place. In verse 11 and 12, her husband can trust her. What a blessing it is to be able to trust your spouse. When a husband and wife trust one another, there is a freedom. It breaks down barriers. It encourages them to love one another more. She knows him, and she knows all about him, and yet she puts up with him anyway. She can be trusted to have her family's best interest. That's what a mom does. Thinks the best for her family, plans out the best for her family. Listen, the godly woman is not a selfish woman. I know that there are people that you know that the whole world revolves around them. Most moms spend a whole lot of time behind the scenes centered on taking care of their children and their spouses, making sure that that things are okay in the household. Her thoughts and her life are centered on being a blessing to her husband and children. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This woman is a woman that makes it easier on her husband, not harder. Easier on her children. Sometimes the only thing that keeps a man going is knowing that he's got a woman that's going to stand up for him and stand with him, and a woman that he can trust, and a woman that'll encourage him. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Well, the gates were the place of leadership, and the fact that he is there means he has a standing. He's a respected person. He has a career, and the scripture indicates that that career was enhanced by his wife. You know the saying, behind every successful man is a good woman. You know the rest of that saying, don't you? Behind every successful man is a good woman and a shock mother-in-law. The encouragement of a wife can lift a man up, can give him zeal, can make him better. The absence of that encouragement can allow him to crash. May I say something to you spouses? Try to say something kind and good to your spouse every day. Try to say something encouraging to your spouse every day. It may be the only encouraging thing they hear. They need to hear it from you. Wouldn't you rather them think about something they heard from you than to think about some kind thing some stranger said to them? Ladies, have you ever noticed that if you fuss at your husbands, they seem to get better at what you're fussing at them about? And have you noticed that your husband is quick to run off and help other people, but he hasn't done anything about the thing you've told him about 50 times? Could it be that he's so eager to help others because they are grateful when they receive help, something that they might not have gotten in the house? This chapter speaks of her great worth to her household. As you read these verses, you find the picture of a very busy woman. I find most mothers put a whole lot of things in a short period of time. They're always doing something, always busy, in the house and out of the house. Listen, you can't be lazy and be a good mother. Many men go to work, they come home. When they get home, they head for a chair, they plop down in that chair, and if you want to see them, they'll be there. A lot of women work too, and they work hard, and they get home, and instead of heading for a chair, they head to the kitchen, they cook, they clean, they pick up, they wash clothes, and they're only interrupted by some idiot in a chair asking her to get him something to drink or eat. Men and children, you can get in on this as well. We need to help the ladies of the house to keep the house running the way it should. If you have a wife that is going to help you, your primary job, men, is to be the provider for the home. And so if you have a wife that's willing to help you be a provider for a home, understand that her major job is the keeping of the home. If she helps you in the provision, you should help her in the keeping. And that's just understand, before you go to your chair, there may be something else you need to do. Or at least get up every once in a while and look like you're doing something. Someone wrote, "Mothers are blowers of noses, washers of ears, healers of boo-boos, dryers of tears, scrubbers of dishes, wielders of mops, dressers of dolls, and winders of tops. Bather of babies, ref of kids' fights, helpers with homework, and tuckers in at night." Do not ever ask a mother if she works. You might find a dish coming at you. All mothers work. Some work in the home and out of the home. Some work in the home. It is all a tough job. This woman was busy. This woman was willing to work outside the home if necessary. You know, people today say, well, is it okay for a mom to work? I think most moms would like to be with their kids if they could be with their kids all the time. But the reality is, in today's economy, that's not really practical for a lot of households. And so a lot of moms have to tear themselves away, and they have to labor outside the house as well as inside the house. Well, let me tell you, whatever God allows for your family, then that's okay. And you can be a great mom if you're working in or out of the house. Just make sure you spend the time with the kids, that you spend the time that you need to with your family. All mothers are amazing. This woman took care of her household, and then she was involved in real estate on the side. Those who work in and out of the home need continued prayer, extra prayer. Because what they find out is not only do they have to be a mother at the house, that there's some people they have to mother at work. A good wife, a good mother, the Bible said, is hard to find. One woman wanted to be the best mother she could be. Her husband was complaining. He said, all I want is a hot breakfast in the morning. She was trying to get the kids out to school and try to get to work herself. Being a good mom, she gave him a box of cornflakes and a match. no one could afford to pay anyone to be a mom. Her price is above rubies. There's the power of a godly mother. In the scripture says in verse 10, she's a virtuous woman. In verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. The godly woman is a woman of strong morals, a woman of a very strong will. Most people that have ever lived in a house with a mom understands they are people of strong will. If mothers are not strong, children will seek to walk over them. And if mothers were not strong, we would all not fear the statement, "I'm going to tell your mother." A godly mother stands on morals taught in God's word. And such a woman doesn't question whether or not there's absolute truth. She knows there's absolute truth. It is found in the Bible. A godly woman helps her family get in church and helps her family learn God's word. It makes that a priority. Listen, men need to make it a priority for their home, but if the man does not, the woman should. Share the truth that God has in his word and seek to lead your family where they need to be. She takes care of her health. Ladies, you need to do that. I know you're taking care of everybody else's health. You need to take care of your own. If you don't take time to take care of your own strength, who's going to be around to take care of the other people in your household? She has strength from a sense of humor. My mom had a great sense of humor. It was warped, but it was a great sense of humor. Listen, if you're a mom and you want to live and you want to have joy in your life, laugh at some stuff. There's no reason you can't laugh. You've got a three-ring circus going on in your house most days. Laugh. Enjoy your family. Teach them to laugh. There's power in the words of a godly mother. In verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Be careful, moms, what you say. If you tell your children that they are worthless, they will live down to your expectations. If you point out the great traits in your children, those traits will shine. You set the standard. What you tell them is what they will want to accomplish. Be kind. Let your love just flow through your words. And then we see the praise of a godly mother in verse 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. Verse 30 says, "Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised." Verse 31, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Thank her. Praise her. Praise her for being there for you to be born. Thank her for any small thing that she has done in your life. Listen, if there are regrets, and I have plenty, oh, that I could have thanked my mother one more time. That I had done more things, if I had actually completed more chores she gave me to do. Can I tell you something? You don't get to go back and do those things. So those of you that have the opportunity, do them now. You have opportunity to spend time with your mom, spend it now. There will be a time when you would want to cry out to her and she will not be there. Make sure your mom knows that you love her with all your heart. That's not doubted. It's not questioned. And when she goes home to be with the Lord, if she knows Jesus as her Savior, you'll be able to rest knowing your mom loves you, and that love that she has given you can never be taken away from you. And you will have the peace of knowing that when your mom went home to be with Jesus, she went home with a heart that knew she was loved. Moms need to know that. Most of us have been blessed by a wonderful mother. Not everybody, but most of us. This chapter begins with a mother teaching her son, King Lemuel. Now, King Lemuel, you might not remember that name. It's not a common name, but he has another name. Perhaps you know it, Solomon. This is a woman talking to her son, Solomon. Solomon the wise, by the way. Why? How did he get so wise? Well, perhaps because he listened to his mother. Who was his mother? Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba did not have a good start. Bathsheba went through some negative things. Her first child with King David died. This woman, though, at a very key time in her life, there was a time that she believed in the Savior that God would provide. She believed the Messiah would come and pay for her sins. She believed it, and she accepted the Messiah by faith as her Savior. Verse 2 points out that she made vows unto God related to her son. Her vows were kind of like, God, you saved me now, and I'm going to live for you to seek to be the type of mother you want me to be. She became worthy of praise, faithful, keeping her vow to the Lord. The best thing a mother can do for her children is to know Jesus as her Savior and to follow Him all the days of her life. And the best thing you can do for your mom is to come to know Jesus as your Savior and become the person God wants you to be, because I guarantee you, you become the person God wants you to be, your mom's not going to have a problem with you. This passage starts saying such a woman has a price above rubies. Above rubies. In our society, we think diamonds. You know, rubies are rarer than diamonds. Rubies, in fact, could only be possessed by royalty. God says a godly woman has a value of royalty. Mothers, give your children what they need and what few have, a mom who's going to point her kids to Jesus in God's Word. A mom who's going to seek to live right because God is Lord of her life. You give your children that, and one day they will praise you. But far more important than that, if you point them in the right direction, one day they will praise Jesus. And if they grow up knowing how to praise Jesus and have Him as their Savior, that means your family can be together again for eternity. What do you really need to be the mom you need to be? You need to be dedicated to Jesus. What do you need to be the dad you need to be, or the man you need to be? Well, you need to be dedicated to Jesus. What do you need to be the child you need to be? You need to be dedicated to Jesus. It all starts with knowing Him. Jesus came for you. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He was buried. He rose again. If you don't know Him, if you've not invited Him to come into your heart, this is the time. This is the day. What better day than Mother's Day to come to know Jesus as your Savior, that you may become all God wants you to be? I call you to make that kind of decision today. In just a moment, all you have to do is come forward and say, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say. I know what that means. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. If you want Him, I guarantee you He wants you. Mom, you want to be the mom you want to be and you need to be, and you don't have Jesus, it'll never happen. Come to Jesus today. The opportunity is yours. I hope you'll come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I do ask that you would move in our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room, some who have never met Jesus as their Savior. And Father, this is the time. Father, we thank you for all the mothers that are here, and we pray that you would move in their hearts, Father, to comfort them, to draw them close to yourself. And Father, for the rest of us, that we might know Jesus. Move us to decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?